Today we're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 1 to 8, which is really about Moses sending off Joshua. And there's kind of two themes here. It's one about discipling and an issue of who's responsible for what happens. I want to think, take you back a little, back about 50 years actually, to when I was doing my PhD. It is that long ago. I was doing a mental health project in a community, and it became a community development project. The key point in community, one of the key points in community development, is that as a catalyst for the process, your goal is to do yourself out of a job. You want to build up the community that you're working with so that you are no longer needed. In a similar way, I've observed the problem of the difficulty that a small family, especially a family-run business, can have in handing over when they get old and need to bring in a general manager, someone from outside the family. The research evidence is that about 87% of family businesses fail at this stage. And it's an incredibly difficult job for a general manager. At the end of the saga described in Deuteronomy, or throughout the whole first five books of the Bible, we see that Moses was faced with the disappointment of being told by God to hand the entry to the promised land over to Joshua. This was something he'd been working toward for 40 years, or more than 40 years. And he was still fit and well. So, yeah, it was difficult for him. The problem of letting go, and that's the problem in community development, the problem in family businesses, the problem for Moses. He really didn't want to let go. He wanted to be in there and see where they were going. Anyway, let me read what is said in Deuteronomy. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I'm now 120 years old. I'm not going to live that long. I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So Moses there was speaking to all of Israel, but he then repeats the key points specifically to Joshua. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The emphasis through here is how the Lord is in control. The Lord is directing this show. And this is the kind of the point where we have Moses has been training and discipling Joshua all this time, but it's the Lord who is in control here as he hands over. And I guess it's comforting, in a sense, to Moses to know that God is in control, even if he has to stand aside. So, who was Joshua? Joshua was the son of Nun, whoever that was, and his name was changed from Hoshea by Moses. He was a leader in the tribe of Ephraim. His leadership qualities were noted early by Moses, who fostered them by having Joshua serve and accompany him. Often at critical times, Joshua therefore learned by observing Moses, through direct teaching from Moses and through being close to him during critical times. He fought against the Amalekites while Moses raised his hands to God. You might remember that story where someone had to hold his arms up so they could keep fighting or keep winning in the fight. Joshua was on Sinai with Moses while the people sinned below by making and worshipping the calf of gold. Joshua and Caleb were sent with other leaders to explore Canaan. The leaders reported on a land of milk and honey, but also big, strong inhabitants, fearsome people. So the people kind of freaked and wandered out. Just Caleb and Joshua trusted that the Lord could lead them into the land. And they reiterated, it was exceedingly good. They promised that God would protect them, but the people rejected that, and hence God rejected the people, and they were left to wander in the wilderness until all the fighting men, who were over 20, died. That's all the people who were over 20 at the time when the people rejected God and worshipped the calf. Caleb and Joshua were the only exceptions over 20 who would enter the promised land because he had trusted that God would look after them. So that's who Joshua was. We have already seen that Joshua had leadership qualities and trusted God. Moses worked to build on those. He taught by example. When Moses was told he was not to cross the Jordan, he pointed out to Joshua the example of how God had worked with him in winning the land to the east of the Jordan. Deuteronomy 3:21-22 reports him saying, "You have seen with your own eyes all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. The Lord will do the same to all the kingdoms over there where you are going. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God himself will fight for you." So he points to example and he provides encouragement for Joshua to move forward. He taught also by giving instruction in how to live. Moses then instructs Joshua and others in all the teaching and laws he was given by God. There was always an encouragement within that. "Walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." And as we know, much of Deuteronomy spells out those laws. Moses builds up and encourages the new leader with a reminder of the promise of God's faithfulness. In Deuteronomy 3:27, the Lord says to Moses, "Commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead his people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." Moses commissioned him publicly through the laying on of hands to reinforce his credibility. So in discipling Joshua, Moses encouraged by pointing out examples of how God had helped and supported them. He strengthened by teaching the ways they must follow, both directly and through observation over many years. And he warned of the consequences when they did not follow God's way. "Be careful not to forget the covenant of the Lord your God that he made with you. He is a consuming fire." God will not forget his covenant, even when you do. But Moses also reminds them of the promise within the covenant. "Keep his decrees and commands, which I'm giving you today, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may live long in the land the Lord your God gives you for all time. So in all of this, Moses is making clear it's the Lord who's in charge, but he is passing on his knowledge of God and his trust in God, and communicating that, or building that in Joshua. And so we come to the final commissioning of Joshua, where Moses gives clear direction and encouragement to the people. God's promises are for all of Israel, and he will support them, but also he commissions Joshua in the presence of all Israel. Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. This theme is constant throughout this part of Scripture. The Lord goes before you. He'll be with you. He won't leave you or forsake you. If we move forward in time, Deuteronomy 31:1-8 has parallels with Jesus' Great Commission in the New Testament. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus says to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Like Joshua and the Israelites, we have to step out into an unknown world. But rather than fighting people to take control of the land, we go with the message of who God is, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creating new believers, mentoring and discipling them by teaching them all that we have learned from Jesus. Just as Moses taught Joshua all that he knew of God, and Joshua passed on instruction from God to the people. And just as Joshua and the Israelites were assured of God going with them, we are assured of Jesus, our Lord, going with us always. And so, like Joshua, we are to be strong and courageous as we venture into new territory. So as we do this, what lessons do we learn about discipleship from Moses? Moses had Joshua work with him for a long time and observing all that he did. Discipleship requires sustained involvement. Joshua saw how Moses handled real-life challenges. These were learning opportunities that also provided encouragement that God was in charge. Moses publicly endorsed Joshua, then stood back, allowing him to take over and lead. He let go. Planning for leadership succession is critical. We see this model also in Paul's life as he mentors and disciples those who travelled and worked with him. He modelled what he taught. Paul was able to confidently suggest that people imitate him. I guess there's not many of us that feel they can say that to people. His disciples, therefore, learned by observation. He taught those who worked with them according to their skills and needs. So if you compare the letters to Timothy and Titus, they cover quite different aspects of the Christian life. So he encouraged and reassured those who worked with him constantly. And we see this throughout his epistles. The lessons for then us are, lessons for us then, to lead by example and to teach experientially. Know and understand well the person you're discipling so that what you do is attuned to their needs and skills. Provide teaching, encouragement and support. Have a long-term vision and essentially be prepared to let go. You're supporting, but you also let go. As disciples, we spread the seed. We water to nurture its growth, or God does that directly with rain. But God is the one who created things to grow and ripen and produce more seed. As Moses did for Joshua, the person who reaps or benefits from others reaping then fosters growth and full maturity in those who respond to the call to follow Jesus by giving instruction, assurances and encouragement. Discipling all happens in partnership with Jesus. Moses provided direction, assurances, instruction and encouragement to Joshua. Through what followed, the Lord honoured his promise in fighting for Joshua and the people of Israel. And he'll fight for us.